Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Top street racers from all over the globe face the ultimate race course on Hyperdrive, Netflix's latest human endurance series, which begins next Wednesday. Oscar-winning actress Charlize Theron is the key executive producer. You'll hear the other when Chris Cowan joins me next. If you have Roku or Amazon Fire TV, the universe of historically black college and university life is in your view 24/7 on HBCU Game Day. If not, prepare to be introduced next month to Aspire TV. Game Day founder Stephen Gaither comes by next half hour from Charlotte, North Carolina. And National Dog Day happens August 26th, and that's when the makers of all those Air Bud movies make their first TV series on Pup Academy. It's created executive producer by Anna McRoberts, and she will bark with us at the top of the next hour. Also ahead, another major saga for Showtime, Penny Blinders' return, our climate trivia question, and our up segment on tomorrow's New York Latino Film Festival's closing day, and the latest on the New York Television Festival. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of great audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Happy TGIF to you and all, and welcome once again to the program All About Television, wrapping up week number 2 of our 13th year on the air. 78 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We have a trio of wonderful guests over the next 90 minutes, and we invite you to be part of the program. Very simple. Pick up the phone, dial in, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio or Speaker. We got a chat room going for you. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. Two people already in the room. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or you can, of course, check it out under Simon Apple 04 by name. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we will get you involved. And while the program is on the air, you connect others by using Facebook timeline. Click on that Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. Chris Cowan from Hyperdrive is live with us from Los Angeles after these news notes. More than 2 Showtime series bringing unique worlds to life in the near future are happening. Make that 2. As Halo, the network's rendition of the popular video game, takes shape, an adaptation of the iconic adventure books Gormenghast will be co-produced with Fremantle. For the uninitiated, Gormenghast is a castle the size of a big metropolis, and all sorts of mystical features to be discovered among its inhabitants. Oscar-winning writer Akiva Goldsman, of A Beautiful Mind fame, and American Gods creator Neil Gaiman will be among the executive producers. Peaky Blinders is back, while Elvis has entered the tune. That's today's roundup of news from Netflix. Season 5 of the popular gangsterland drama from England will debut there October 4th. As for the king of rock and roll, Mr. Presley will get animated as Agent King, doing double duty as secret government agent. Priscilla Presley co-created the series and will be an executive producer. After 3 years on HBO, Vice News Tonight will move to Viceland from A&E Network this fall. Premiere date to be disclosed. The weeknight newscast will have its final HBO presentation next month. Now some quickies. Dale Berman's sidecar venture, incubating new series for Fox and other outlets, has announced its first project, Americanizing the popular Australian sitcom Mr. Black. It's about someone who's about to pass away, but before he does, he would like to make sure that his daughter doesn't get married to someone else. AMC and ITV Studios will team up for Quiz, a 3-part miniseries about the cheating scandal surrounding winners of the British version, the original version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And Santa Clarita Diet co-star Drew Barrymore will take a talk show pilot, taper talk show pilot, for syndication next fall. CBS Television Distribution will clear TV station time if it goes to series. And we've also learned in the last half hour that HBO will debut the limited series Mrs. Fletcher on October 27th. And that is news notes for today. Earlier this summer, we introduced you to Curfew, the Charter Spectrum original drama about the world of street racing from England, where street racers are fighting for survival. If they win the ultimate race, they win the ultimate deal, freedom for their lives. Now, real street racers get an opportunity to show their wares for you as they travel to Rochester, New York, and face the ultimate obstacle course in a new series called Hyperdrive that premieres next Wednesday on Netflix. Joining us live from Los Angeles is the head of scripted television at Whale Rock Industries. That's the production company behind Hyperdrive. He's also the executive producer of the series. We welcome in Chris Cowan. Chris, thanks for coming on.
Appreciate it, Simon. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. First of all, tell us about Whale Rock. How long has it been around, and what kind of unscripted TV does it do?
So Whale Rock has been around for about, let's call it 5 years in its current incarnation. Prior to that, it was a partnership between Gail Berman and Lloyd Braun, who are two of the kind of the industry heavy hitters. I've had a long history with both of them. As far as, doing business, and they started a venture called Berman Braun. They wanted to do an unscripted division, and they kind of sought me out and asked if I'd like to join up and partner with them, and so I agreed. About 2-3 years into that venture, Lloyd decided he wanted to take the company a different direction, so he negotiated a buyout with Gail, and he turned Berman Braun into Whale Rock, and so now we are Whale Rock, and we do a little bit of everything. We do digital, we do scripted, we do unscripted. We're kind of one of those morphing companies that attempts to stay ahead of the curve of what's happening in the evolution of the television industry.
So in terms of this series, Hyperdrive, how did this happen?
About 3 years ago, I had an idea. You're always percolating new ideas for new concepts. And, I've always been a fan of the car culture in the United States. I also know that it's heavily fragmented. So, there's all these different tribes of car enthusiasts. There's those that love street racing and those that love drifting and those that love NASCAR and those that love drag racing and all of these different things. And it's very fragmented and they all have their own lanes. And I kind of dreamed of an idea where we could aggregate all of those different disciplines into one competition and create the ultimate proving ground. And so that ultimately was the inspiration of the idea. That's where it kind of started. And then, we went on the inevitable year-long development cycle and coming up with the, partners and how that we want the whole thing to be envisioned and who's the right platform. And, it went through the normal sales cycle at that point.
Mm-hmm. And was there a certain point where it all finally came together that you were able to get the production team, but really more importantly, get all these street racers who come from, I understand, all different backgrounds to trust what you're doing and prove their mettle on this course?
So it's difficult when you're doing a first season of anything, particularly when you're asking people to put their own cars on the line. We have 28 drivers from around the world, and we're literally shipping their personal cars from their hometowns in Poland or Brazil to Rochester, New York. So there was a great deal of trust and faith that they had to put in us, and it took us a long time to earn that. The other thing that was difficult, quite frankly, was that Netflix didn't allow us to announce their association with the project while we were in pre-production. So it made it difficult for us to kind of let everybody know that this was actually really a big, valid competition. So it was a challenge, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. And once it was publicized that Netflix is involved, what kind of support have they given you in terms of pulling this off?
I mean, they've been amazing. From a resource standpoint, they were there from the beginning. This is a fully funded project by Netflix. They've been involved from the jump with, shaping the format and, where it was going to be shot and how, involved in the casting. So, between our executive producer, producing partners over at Denver and Delilah with Charlize Theron and Beth Kono and AJ Dix and the entire Netflix team, it's been a 3-year ride getting this thing to, the final stage where it's going to drop next Wednesday. It's been monumental. But Netflix was incredible the entire time.
The program we're talking about is Hyperdrive. It premieres on Netflix next Wednesday, August 21st. And we're talking with the executive producer, Chris Cowan. He's also the head of unscripted television, Whale Rock Industries, the key production company behind the making of this series. He joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appleman with you live from the other coast, New York. 78 degrees at the top of the hour. It's going to be a pretty good weekend coming up. And we're glad you're with us for the program all about television, wrapping up week number two of our 13th year on the air. You have a question or comment for our guest or our guest upcoming, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have a very unique episode coming your way on Monday. Reset from this past Monday, our lead guest will be the Oscar-winning writer of Moonlight, Terrell Alvin McCraney, whose first television series, David Makes Men, premiered this past Wednesday night on the Open Food Network. I saw the entire episode. Let me tell you, it's one of the best series you will see this year. I predict it's going to get a lot of Emmy nominations and maybe a Peabody Award by this time next year. And he will be with us live to take your questions and comments. By the way, the reviews have been ecstatic, 100% so far on Rotten Tomatoes, almost 48 hours in. And I am really looking forward to the rest of the run. It's an incredible series, brilliantly put together on all counts, acting, writing, directing, and so forth. So I'm looking forward to having Terrell on the program. And that's just the first half hour. Coming up in the second half hour, we'll showcase a pay-per-view special dealing with the 50th anniversary of one of the most iconic events of all time in American culture, the Woodstock Music Festival. It's a new special, and we will have the president of the company that made it, Good News Broadcast, Mr. GN himself, Paul Slatkis. That's coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. When all is said and done, Chris, what made the street racers do this? Was it for money? Was it for pride? Was it for I really want to prove something new to myself?
I mean, I think it's mostly glory, right? Like, these guys are passionate. They're every weekend out driving, tooling, building their car. Some of them still have professional aspirations and dreams, and so they're looking for a noisy platform to get people's attention, gain sponsorship. I mean, the cars are, you know, priceless. The amount of money that they have invested in these things, the speed at which they, you know, race them, the risk that they take when they're out on the track. I mean, our course was an unrestricted course, you know, at this 100-acre industrial complex. So, you know, they were out there because they wanted a challenge that they'd never seen before. They wanted to be in a unique and cinematic environment. They wanted to face off against the best drivers in the world, and they wanted to try something that has never been done. So I think that was really the motivation, and ultimately we delivered on all of those accounts, and it's just a radical-looking universe that I think will be eye-popping for those that like this space.
We have somebody who just came into our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Thanks for coming aboard. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room and make the call, 646-652-2906. Describe the course in more detail. What kind of course is this, and what kind of obstacles do you put in the way of the racers?
So, you know, there is a little bit, if you're familiar with the format American Ninja Warrior, and I like to use that as an analog because what that is a series of unique obstacles that challenge athletes from different disciplines. We have a similar approach. We created it's a 100-acre industrial complex. It's the old Kodak industrial complex in Rochester, New York. Twists and turns and lots of open space and long straightaways for the cars to get up to speeds of over 100+. But ultimately, you want to challenge them with different athletic obstacles, things that challenge cars differently. So the car culture is made up of different disciplines. You've got cars that love to go fast. You've got cars that love to go sideways. You've got cars that are muscle cars. There are all these different things, and we wanted to have obstacles that would challenge them in different ways. So we have a thing called the Supernova. Do you know what a Rockford turn is, Simon?
No, explain that.
So a Rockford turn is kind of like one of the basic fundamental skills that every stunt driver in Hollywood needs to know. And that's when you're going in reverse at high speed, you slam on the brake, crank the wheel, and spin the car around 180 degrees while still rolling, and then continue driving. So that's one of the things that we challenged our drivers to be able to accomplish. The difference is we put them in a narrow channel that's surrounded by these 8-foot Lexan light tubes, and it restricts the area from which they can do this maneuver, and they go as fast as they possibly can, crank the wheel, and if they fail, it's spectacular because they go plowing into these light tubes, and it just looks like a mess, and they get penalized for it. So you come up with all these different disciplines, the ability to drift your car around a turn and hit a target, the ability to follow a path through water, the ability to go up an incline of 40 degrees on a 6-story bridge. All these different things were challenges that we gave to the drivers to see which car and which driver had the medal to ultimately raise the championship trophy.
Does every racer go through the same obstacle, or do you mix things up for different drivers?
We mix it up the entire time. So it's a 10-episode series. The first 4 episodes are qualifying rounds where the entire field of drivers that we brought in from around the world are attempting to make it through to the knockout round. So 30 drivers ultimately go up against a qualifying track. Each track is different with different obstacles on it. By the time you get through the 4 qualifiers, you will have tested yourself in the majority of the disciplines that we're going to see as the series progresses. Then in episode 5, it's the knockout rounds where the top 12 drivers that made it through the qualifiers compete for the championship. And key to us was leveling up the tracks on every single episode so that there's something different to see and a different challenge for them to perform. So by the time you get to the final episode, that track we call the Monster, it has all of the different disciplines, and it's the hardest track that we could possibly conceive of.
How long did it take to, A, design the course, and B, build it in Rochester?
So we put together an all-star team of consultants. What we did is we brought in – do you know who Tanner Faust is from Top Gear?
Yes.
So Tanner Faust is probably one of the most versatile professional drivers in the world. He can race, he can rally, he can stunt, he can do anything. We brought in Tanner. We brought in drifters like Chris Forsberg and Ryan Turk. We brought in stunt drivers like Andrew Comrie-Picard. We brought in engineers. And we all sat around in a room for about 2 months with a bunch of toy cars and said, if you could do anything with a car, what would it be? And while we were spitballing all these ideas and whiteboarding them out, we also had a test car that if somebody came up with a great inspiration, we would literally run out into the parking lot and one of the stunt drivers would get behind the wheel and they'd try 15 different, you know, attempts at a move. And we'd look at it and say, that was amazing. And then we'd turn it into a game and we'd try to figure out how to make an obstacle out of it. So once we had that set of 20 or 30 ideas, we turned it over to our effects team and our engineers. They put it out on paper, we budgeted it out, and then we agreed what we thought were the best of those 30, narrowed it down to about 15, and those are the obstacles that we ended up taking out to Rochester. It was about a 12-week build once we decided on everything.
Mm-hmm. We just had a few more people get into our chat room. SimonApple04 by name. It's over at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the chat room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. I mentioned at the top that Charlize Theron, the Oscar-winning actress from Mother fame, is also an executive producer. How much of this was, pardon the pun, fueled or driven by what she did at Mad Max Fury Road?
Listen, you know, she's one of the true badasses out there. She really responded to the conceit when we originally pitched it to her in its infancy. She and her team were spectacular about collaborating on all of the ideas and what they wanted to see in it and what was important to them. So I think more Fast and the Furious than Mad Max, truthfully, just from the standpoint of what cars can do and what the maneuvers are and what a chase sequence is made of. So Italian Job, Fast and the Furious probably are better analogs for us than Mad Max.
You're hearing Chris Collins. He is the executive producer with Charlize Theron and others in Hyperdrive, the new Netflix nonfiction series that premieres next Wednesday and available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, I might add. And Chris joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Wrapping up week two of our 13th year on the air as the program All About the Tube. Great to have you aboard. Happy Friday to you and all. If you have a question or comment on our meeting minutes with Chris, make the call happen, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. A few years ago on this program, we highlighted a pay service called Dog TV that at the time was launching on Cox cable systems around the country. Well, since then, it's been on a number of other cable systems, and very soon it's going to be available free of charge for a limited time on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We'll have the general manager of Dog TV North America, Vicky Lubich, will be on the program. And then we will highlight a new Nat Geo Wild special called Kingdom of the White Wolf, with not only the executive producer, but the host and the person who is the explorer on the series. His name is Ronan Donovan. I think you'll really enjoy meeting him. That's coming up a week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tamami Televised. And don't forget, next Monday, our lead guest will be the creator and executive producer of the critically acclaimed new series, David Makes Man on the Oprah Winfrey Network, the Oscar winner for writing Moonlight, Terrell Alvin McCraney. You will not want to miss it. Chris, when all is said and done, what do you think we will get to know about these street racers from having participated in this series and going through all these obstacles?
Listen, I think, you know, paramount for us was that these were not professional drivers, that these are just regular folks with a dream, that, you know, they use driving as a hobby, as an expression. It's an adrenaline fix for them. They love their cars. They love the puzzle that we presented to them to solve. But I think it's really about their dreams, their hopes and their aspirations to maybe someday be able to call themselves a professional driver. But it's about your next door neighbor who's got a beautiful car and he doesn't have a place to go challenge himself, really push it to the limit. That's what it's about. It's about the car cultures that are around in all of the communities that we exist in. We all know the gearheads. We all know somebody with a beautiful car that believes that they are a great driver and it's the best car in the world. We now finally want to give them a place where they can congregate and go for a championship. So it wants to be democratic, and it wants to be about the everyman. So the people who watch the show should be our cast the next season. That's ideal.
Mm-hmm. What was it like to work with Charlize, and do you see you and her partnering up another Whale Rock project down the road?
It's possible. I mean, listen, we have a really great relationship. Denver and Delilah is an incredibly dynamic, small company. They've got, you know, a lot in the hopper. They do mostly scripted, but I think they've enjoyed this experience in the unscripted world. They're very different culturally, there's no doubt. But they were amazing, and she was incredible. She's in the show. She appears on camera. She cares about the people. We actually have a driver from South Africa. She went and visited that driver at her house. It's an amazing sequence. You know, they couldn't have been any better as partners for us.
So, Chris, what else is coming up from Rail Rock down the road?
So, listen, we're in production on BattleBots right now for Discovery. We produce that. We have another show that we're doing with CNN. We did Believer with Reza Aslan, and now we have a new series with Ravi Patel that we're doing with CNN that should be out next year. We have a new series with the CW based on the parlor game Werewolf, which we're getting ready to do 13 episodes with them. We just finished Adam Savage's new series on Science Channel called Adam Savage Builds. So that was exciting for us. So, you know, we kind of like to – we're a boutique production company. We like to pick and choose things that we're really excited by, people who we think have great stories to tell. So we don't look to do a volume of production. We're just looking for the things that really excite us.
We did a segment on the revival of BattleBots last year, carried on Science Channel, but it's also carried on Discovery Channel too. What's it been like to bring that show back and develop a new generation of fans as well as a new generation of these BattleBots?
I mean, it's one of my favorite shows that I've ever produced. I've been lucky enough to be doing this for about 30 years, and BattleBots is probably one of the highlights. It's just such a pure show. You know, we all have these shows that we believe are going to be great, and, you know, you get into production, and they're just so hard to produce and to get them across the finish line. BattleBots is just a joy. I mean, it's something where the robot community, these guys are constantly building their own, you know, weaponized robots, and they show up and we have this amazing championship. It's one of the best things, and it's really great co-viewing. The amount of response that we get from families that say it's so hard to find something that we can watch as a family, and BattleBots really ticks the box for us. You know, so both the 50-year-old, you know, who remembers the show from 1999, and now all the way down to their, you know, 4 and 5 year olds are watching it together, and it's just a delight.
First episode of Hyperdrive can be seen next Wednesday. That's August 21st on Netflix. Remember, Netflix is available on most smart TV sets and smart devices, and some areas also available on cable as well. For more details about the film online, go to www.netflix.com. That's Hyperdrive on Netflix, Wednesday, August 21st. Produced in part by Whale Rock Industries, which Chris Cowan is the head of unscripted television for. Chris, thank you so much for being on the program. Good luck to you, Sharice, everybody involved, for making the show happen. Hoping the beginning of a long, long run. And let's stay in touch with what else Whale Rock is doing, both script and unscripted. It's been great to have you aboard.
Simon, I appreciate it, and congratulations on your 13 years.
Thank you, thank you. It's been a pleasure, and the best, I think, is for sure yet to come. Have a super weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Chris Cowan, executive producer with Sharice DeMille and others of Hyperdrive, coming to Netflix next Wednesday, August 21st. Joining us live from Los Angeles here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. More TWBT coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for something motivational, something inspiring, get your juices going about what you can ultimately be in your life, try this very interesting audiobook called Educated. It's a unique story by someone who's a very unique person, Tara Westover, and she narrates this audiobook as well. And you can get it right now as part of your 3-book trial of Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and by far inspiration. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from, and you can watch and use them on any device, including whatever you're listening to us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. And don't forget, that growing catalog includes Audible Originals. It's original audio productions, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater around the country, and great one-woman and one-man shows. And again, the best thing is you can hear these programs on any device, including wherever you hear us right now on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. So just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get 3 free audiobooks, 2 of them Audible Originals, 1 month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So, like we say, hear for yourself how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. For that free audiobooks and that 1 month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. This is Tomorrow We Televised. We are the promo about two weeks into year 13 on the air. We're delighted to have you with us because you make us happen. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 78 degrees at the top of the hour. Good weekend, I believe, coming your way here in the New York area, and hopefully wherever you are around the country, around the globe, checking us out on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or the IR Radio Podcast Network. Don't forget, we always love hearing from you. So if you have a question or comment about the world of TV, where it's at and where it's going, we love to hear. So sound it off. Just use my email, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. And don't forget, you can also check us out on blogtalkradio.com/televised. So if you can't catch us live, catch us on the rebound at blogtalkradio.com/televised, or check us out on podcast at iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, and iHeartRadio.com. If you use the latter, remember to put Tomorrow Will Be Televised in the search bar. Click, and you are in. And coming up in our next half hour, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. So get out your thinking caps. You might be our first trivia winner of year number 13. But first, did you know that there is a programming service dealing with the wonderful world of historically black college universities There really is. You'll meet the person who put it together, Stephen Gaither from HBCU Game Day, who's getting an additional exposure next month on Irvin Johnson's network, Aspire TV. We will hear from him from Charlotte, North Carolina, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradioandspeaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR Spreaker, your home for Ladies Night with Lady A. Check it out tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's Ladies Night with Lady A right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget, Best of BTR available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of our 90th edition this Friday afternoon of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Appleman with you live from New York, 78 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you along on this Friday. More great guests coming your way in the hour ahead, so get involved with us. If all it takes is a phone call from you at 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. We've got a bunch of people in the room, and we'd love to hear from you as well. Until the early 1980s, there was one aspect of American culture that never got mentioned or showcased on television. I'm talking about the unique world of historically black colleges and universities. That started to change in the early 1980s when BET offered black college football and then black college basketball every year. And since that time, there have been efforts, large and small, to try to expand that world. Some cases have been successful, like, for example, having special bowl games carried first on NBC and now on ESPN, ABC, and other places. We thought until a couple of weeks ago that there was not an effort to do 24/7 coverage of these universities and colleges. But then we found out, yes, there is. In fact, it's been around for some time, and now it's available on Roku and Amazon Fire TV 24/7. It's called HBCU Game Day. And joining us live from Charlotte, North Carolina, is its founder, Stephen Gaither. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, how's it going?
Very, very fine, thank you. This service has been quite under the radar screen, so tell us how this got started.
Right. Well, thanks for having us on, first of all. Started back in 2012. I'm from North Carolina, a graduate of Winston-Salem State University. So, graduated and I wanted to work for the big timers like a lot of people, and it's just that was a bad time to be graduating college, in the recession and things like that. So I was doing things other than what I went to school for, and I just knew that I had something that I could give to the world, and I kind of wanted to make a difference. And so, I noticed that there wasn't really one place that you could go digitally to know about what was going on in the world of HBCU sports. So I just did what I could. I didn't have any resources or anything like that. I just started a blog on Blogger, and, here we are 7 years later getting ready to go to our eighth football season and our first season on television. So, just been able to connect with great people and that have made this thing really grow to what it is. So I'm just happy to have been there, happy and a part of it from the beginning.
I'm sure that these colleges and universities have been pitched over and over again through the years, the decades, about having a network that would be devoted to the totality of what these college and universities, beyond sports, showcasing culture, even showcasing talent that might be the new people behind television series of the future. What was the turning point in those schools getting behind you?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I'd like to say that it happened quickly and that everything was kumbaya, but it wasn't. Historically black colleges and universities are actually very diverse, even from each other. I mean, you've got some state institutions that are pretty big, and then you've got some private institutions that are pretty small. And, they run from Delaware all the way to Oklahoma. So, starting off with no resources and really nothing other than my journalism skills and being limited to where I could go. It was really just, the first couple of schools that were in the immediate area. I was living in the Raleigh area at that time. So North Carolina Central University, their sports information director, Kyle Serba, credentialed me. He was the first guy to do that. My site was only a couple weeks old, so I always appreciate him for that. Also, St. Augustine's and Shaw Universities are two small private historically black colleges and universities in Raleigh, North Carolina, and they gave me a chance as well. You know, in North Carolina, we're blessed to have a lot of great institutions, you know, from, you know, North Carolina, Chapel Hill, UNC Charlotte, all of those schools, East Carolina. So it's very, you know, it's a very sports crazy place. And sometimes a lot of the historically black colleges and universities have gotten left behind either due to, you know, being small. A lot of them are Division II. If there are, of course, North Carolina A&T and North Carolina Central are Division I. So the smaller universities that were, you know, mostly the quicker ones to welcome me when it was just me onto to cover them. And then as the team has grown, you know, we were able to find connections that other people have and make it grow. But really it was more so the people that got behind us, first the fans. I mean, again, I didn't have any budget to showcase what I was doing. So all I really had was, you know, I was of the generation where, you know, Facebook and Twitter, you know, I was still pretty new when I was in college. And so I was able to just kind of take what I knew social media wise and really make that connection there. And really, I didn't know that, you know, we were laying the groundwork for what we have right now, our approach and what's made us successful so far and what will continue to make us successful is 5 C's. It's creating collaborative content that connects community. And so doing all that was social media was really doing all that, laying the background. And once, you know, you start getting the numbers, then, you know, schools start to see, okay, this is more than just a fly by night. I mean, there are a lot of in this digital age, the great thing about it is that anybody can start their own thing. But the downside to that is anybody can start it too. And so there kind of aren't any rules anymore. And, you know, some people don't play by the rules. They don't respect the rules and they don't respect the process. And I've always, you know, tried to respect the process as I continue to build. And as the rest of my guys, Tali and Wally, we're all trying to make sure that we do it the right way and have a balance between making sure that, you know, the schools get their shine, but also that the fans know that we're here for them and we are of the culture. And we are uniquely positioned in that way. So, yeah. So, long story short, it's continuing to be a work in process. But you know, now that we've got TV behind us a little bit more, that just makes it a lot easier. So,
Stephen, your service Game Day is one of the growing number of programming networks that are using smart TV sets and smart TV devices like Roku, Amazon Fire TV, etc., to either be the primary way you get to viewers or the exclusive way that you get to viewers. How long has Roku and Amazon Fire taken the service?
Right. So we were one of the first back in 2017. My partners, Tali Carr and Wally Pitt, you know, they especially Tali was really integral in pushing that, you know, to get on these new platforms. Again, you know, kind of use what you know, what Damon John from Shark Tank likes to call the power of broke. You know, if we would have started from day one being on TV, maybe we would have been slower to develop those platforms. But 2017 is when we got into Roku first and then Amazon. And we were at the time we were the only HBCU focused medium out there on those platforms, and then one of the few that were black owned in that space. So I would never really consider myself a tech guy in that sense, but our company has kind of gone techie in the fact that, you know, as these platforms have emerged and more people are going to them, more people are cutting the cord and things like that, it just made sense for us to take advantage of what was there. So, you know, we just kind of, you know, my guys, Tali and Wally, threw themselves in and learned from scratch how to do this stuff and how to program this stuff. And, you know, the thing that I've always wanted and the thing that has happened is that even when it was just me, I just wanted to make sure that it was known that I just wanted it to be bigger than me and I wanted it to be bigger than just one or two people. So people have always thought that we've had a bigger crew of people that are working on it than we have. And I feel like as long as we continue to do that, then that will speak volumes. So, yeah, so the OTT stuff has been around since 2017, and you know, the more that we grow and can get funds pumped into it, the more that we can really grow and do some great things with those.
You're hearing Stephen Gaither. He is the founder and force behind HBCU Game Day. Currently it's available on Roku and Amazon Fire TV. Hopefully soon will be on other smart TV devices as well as on smart TV sets like the Samsung, Vizio, LG, et cetera, et cetera. And if you don't have a Roku, Amazon Fire TV, next month you'll have the opportunity to see some of the programming that Stephen and crew are putting together, because Aspire, and we'll talk about this in the next segment, is going to be running two programs, one on Saturdays and one on Sundays, starting the weekend of September 7th and the 8th. We'll talk about that shortly. This is Tomorrow We Tell Live. We have the program All About the Tube. Stephen joins us live from Charlotte, North Carolina this half hour, and we invite you to be interactive with us. Pick up the phone, call in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, coming up on Monday, we will have the Oscar-winning writer of Moonlight, Terrell Alvin McCraney. He is the creator and executive producer of the critically acclaimed new series that premiered this past Wednesday night on the Open Info Network, David Makes Men. It's an interview you do not want to miss, and yes, he will take your phone calls and chat room reactions. And also, we'll have Paul Slatkis. Many folks know him as the founder and president of the popular digital Good News Broadcast, and they've just come up with one of their first TV programming efforts. It's a documentary running on pay-per-view about the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, the iconic music festival that happened this month 50 years ago. That's Terrell Allen McCraney from David Makes Men, Paul Slatkis from Good News Broadcast, and the Woodstock pay-per-view special, both with us live Monday, 3:30 Eastern, New Pacific. Be with us right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Stephen, talk about the schedule of Game Day. What is it? How does it go? How much of it is sports? How much of it is culture and other things?
Yeah, well, the majority of it, the base is sports at the moment. You know, we do a band of we've done a band of the week during football season, and we'll continue to do that as well as, you know, not only bring, you know, not only and with the bands, we not only just show the bands, which are amazing as well, but, you know, we try to make sure that we give a spotlight to the bands and the student athletes and talk about what they've got going on besides athletics as well. I mean, you know, or band, because again, they are students. They come from places they all have. Everybody has a story, and they're worth telling. So sports is the primary thing, but as we continue to grow and branch out, and that's why I'm so excited about HBCU 101, we can really get a chance to branch out to even more of that and touch on not only the sports and not only the bands, but also the cheerleading, because cheerleading in HBCU sports, especially here in North Carolina and on the East Coast, is really like no other cheerleading that there is. So, you know, bring a spotlight on that. And there's so many great people who are putting out content from different places. Again, I mean, there are, for people who don't know, there are 104 historically black colleges and universities currently. So it's a lot of ground to cover. You know, at the moment, you know, with the small staff, we do the best that we can and just kind of, you know, keep things going. But we definitely, you know, so that's kind of what the makeup is right now. And again, the show will be the HBCU Game Day No Huddle will be on Saturdays, which will preempt the football games that will come on. Aspire also does Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association football games, CIAA. They're the first conference for historically black colleges and universities. They do their some televised games of them. So we'll be on before them. And then on Sundays, there will be HBCU 101, where we'll kind of really bring to more of the culture. So the tailgating is something that we touch on a lot, the tailgating, the communal aspect of it, as well as, you know, feature stories and biographies of people who are out there doing a lot of great things. There's so many HBCU alumni, specifically in sports television, that people may not even know of. Stephen A. Smith of ESPN is a graduate of Winston-Salem State University, just like I am. So many other people that you see on television are Stan Verrett is a graduate of Howard University. He's an anchor over at ESPN. So there's a lot of folks behind the scenes that have gone in Stokely Black Colleges and do a lot of great things, and we're looking to highlight them as well, and just really to shine a light on the institutions and the people that they've touched as they continue to touch the world.
Are you finding, by the way, that there's an audience for black college sports other than football and basketball, whether it's baseball, whether it's soccer, whether it's gymnastics, Olympic sports, and so on?
Yeah, well, we're always being asked, to highlight things other than the basketball and football, and we try to do our best. Baseball at Historically Black College, the university, has a rich history, but it's actually in a lot of places it's in danger. My alma mater, Winston-Salem State, had a successful baseball team that won, 30 games a year, consistently going to the NCAA playoffs. But they had to discontinue the baseball team because of funding. So, there's definitely that type of thing. There's also track. Track is one of the sports where I think in America we don't pay a lot of attention to it until it's Olympics time. But there's so many athletes from historically black colleges and universities that shine on the national stage here in the United States as well as internationally as well. So we do try to highlight them as well. And it's a tough thing again with the small staff, so that we're hoping that this Aspire show will continue to get us out to a bigger audience and get us to get some sponsorships to where people, because when you say HBCU sports, I don't think people really get it. These are people who our fans are educated people who have disposable incomes. They go and travel to see their schools, so they stay in hotels. They rent cars, they take flights. So there's a whole economy around HBCU sports. And the more that we can get sponsors to understand that, that will give us a chance to really open up and provide some more coverage. But, again, in the meantime, using, again, the power of broke, as Damon John says, we've really gotten a chance to give people a chance to display their talents, especially young people. We had a young gentleman named Wilton Jackson who was, doing some things for us, and now he's going to go on and be a reporter for the Clarion Ledger over in Mississippi. So, as we continue to grow, definitely we wanted to touch on, more sports and more than sports. So that's definitely a goal for us as we continue to try to push out more and more content.
Now, this year, Aspire TV, the network owned by Urban Magic Johnson, is going to be carrying two of the shows you mentioned, No Huddle, which will be a Saturday show, preceding Aspire's coverage and your coverage of black college football and other sports.
Right.
And then HBCC 101 on Sunday. How long was this deal in the making for?
It's been in the works since the winter. These things take time, And last year, at this time last year, to actually go back further, a year ago, we had gotten the permission. We were trying to stream live games, full live game broadcast, and we were really excited about it. A year ago this time, it looked like it was going to happen. We had made an announcement at Alabama State, and we had some other schools that had agreed to allow us to do so, streaming their games live. We were, had a deal on, we were talking with Facebook and some other folks, and things didn't go. There were some things that got pulled on from the under the rug from some other places, and so we were left with and again, when I say other places, we were talking about 3 days before the season when we found out we couldn't do it because of some contractual stuff. So we just threw ourselves into doing the weekly highlight show, the No Huddle show. So when we started that show last year, the games are on Saturdays. We busted our tails to, shoot the highlights on Saturday, and then get everything ready so that by Monday night we would debut the weekend review, the No Huddle. So we did that last year faithfully, no sponsor, no budget, just kind of what we just kind of figured out a way to make it happen. And so, we had a full season of that on deck. And so, we reached out to Aspire. They were interested. They wanted to do something in addition to their game that they do already. So really the discussions lasted, started back late in the winter toward the end of basketball season. And, thankfully we were able to come up with a resolution and a contract, and it's for real, it's going to happen. Because, again, last year we got to about 3 days before when the bottom just fell out on us. So it's been 6 months to a year, I would say.
And once again, the Aspire shows are the No Huddle, which will premiere on Saturday, September 7th, and then about 24 hours later, the second show, HBCU 101, will debut on that channel September 8th. And, of course, we'll tell you how you can find the cable in your area that carries Aspire a little bit later on before this half hour is up. Stephen Gaither, the founder and main force behind HBCU Game Day, is with us this half hour on Smart Be Televised. You can get Game Day
24/7. I'm not the main force. I'm just the fire starter.
Okay, right, the fire spark, let's say. Main spark, if you will. And the same, currently available on Roku and Amazon Fire TV 24/7. He joins us live from Charlotte, North Carolina, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you have any questions for him in our remaining moments with him, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And coming up for the top of the hour, Classic Trivia Question of the Week. We're still looking for our first winner of year 13. So get ready. It could be you, but you got to be in to win, and we'll tell you how in a little bit. What's the status in terms of getting other smart TV devices like Chromecast, Apple TV, TouchJet Wave, as well as smart TV sets to take the service?
I think all of that. I think all of that is probably right now. Our main focus is to make sure that we get these 17 episodes of each show that we get done every week, and with our small staff, that's quite an accomplishment. But I think definitely. We're looking at, expanding the brand to other platforms so that, everyone everywhere can get it. Of course, we started off with the same thing everybody else has on YouTube, and really Facebook is actually where we grew our viewership quite a bit. We've got over 45,000 followers on there. So people can get us already, but, definitely we want to get out as much as we can. Because the more the platform grows, the more that, we can continue to showcase more people and more talent. So, for right now, Amazon, Roku, and Fire Stick are definitely Amazon Fire Stick and Roku are definitely the main sources. But, hopefully we'll be adding some more as well once we once we get this season done. But also YouTube and Facebook, you can catch a lot of our content on there as well.
Have you talked to Facebook Watch about putting some of your shows there?
Well, yeah, we are at a point where our content on Facebook does have advertising. We've reached that point. We've had talks with them before. Again, for us, just I think this TV thing, once you've gotten on TV, I'm finding that a lot of doors start to open for you, and people start to look at you a little bit differently, because in the digital space, for the most part, everyone can kind of get on there. It's not a selective, but once you've been on television, it seems that doors start to open up for you. So, we would definitely love to do that. I mean, we've had a lot of success on Facebook. We got a huge demographic on there, and it's just really been organic. Just people have connected on there, and we've used it for everything. So it would be awesome. We're using it right now to fundraise to build our set. It's going to be in Atlanta. Tali Carr, it's going to be at his house and his residence, and so. We're really excited about that, but we're using it to build our platform. So, yeah, we would definitely love to work in a bigger capacity with Facebook Watch, Twitter as well. I know they have some sports content as well. For us, it's just, the thing about us is we're in this space every day, reporting on the news, and also, just really we're engulfed in the culture. So. When people see us, they know that it's real, it's authentic, it's something that is touchable, but it's also in a polished manner. So that's our brand across all platforms. And so, I think that definitely we would love to get on there. Amazon, we would love to be able to. We did a documentary last year. Wally Pitt, our resident filmmaker, did a documentary on the 1998 Florida A&M team. Was a really great legendary team, and so we want to tell a lot more stories like that. We put that out on our platforms, on our Amazon and on our Roku, so people can go check those out. And those are the type of things that we would like to do more of, maybe on an Amazon Prime you know, some things like that. There are a lot of great stories that need to be told, past, present, and future, on HBCUs, and we want to continue to be the first place that people look to when they want those type of stories.
Yeah. And we should point out Facebook Watch is available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Steve, before you go, what do you and your colleagues see as the ultimate future of game day? I would think that many of these college universities might look at this as a showcase for more than sports, to showcase African American culture as it's showcased at these schools. And also, I'm sure there's a lot of talent in performing arts, in music, in drama, in dance, wanting to get into television, and they might see game day as an opportunity to do a pilot, to do scripted television series, or to pilot shows that maybe other networks would pick up. What do you see as the ultimate future of game day?
Yes, definitely. I think we'll be a culture. Our thing is to be a cultural force digitally, which we've achieved and will continue to achieve. Now we're stretching into television, and then also to be, you know, in people's faces. And so, there's 100 plus HBCUs, and you know, they're at varying levels of producing their own original content. So we would love to. I mean, there's definitely a space where, you know, we could be a 24/7 network, between showcasing, like you said, the student activities and the student things like that. We want to continue to reach out and teach and train future journalists and future content creators. And we want to be a hub for, again, yes, more than just sports. Sports, again, was just kind of the door that opens up a lot of people's ears. It's sexy, and you know that's what draws people in. But as we continue to grow and do things outside of sports and culture, just to be a backbone in a place where people, when they have a story that's HBCU related, that they will come to us, or they have a pilot. I mean, we'd love to do some shows and things like that as well. So this is really a building block for us to doing something, you know, as a 24/7 network, or just, you know, continuing to give other people a spotlight. From the beginning, that's what it's been about. It's never been about just me or just the three of us. It's a space for let other people and other new faces grow and develop. And I think there's plenty of content out there, and we want to, again, to take the lead on that.
The network is HBCU Gateway, and if you want more details about it, here's where you go online, HBCUGameDay.com. It's HBCUGameDay.com, currently available if you have Roku or Amazon Fire TV. And starting the weekend, September 7th and 8th, two of the flagship shows of the service will be running on Aspire TV. It's the No Huddle on Saturday, September 7th. That will be premiering for the season. And HBCU 101 the following day, September 8th. For more details about those shows, here's where you go online, www.aspire.tv. That's www.aspire.tv. Once again, HBCU Game Day, available on Roku and Amazon Fire TV, as well as online. Stephen Gaither, the founder of the service, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations to you and your colleagues on what you've done so far, and hopefully many, many more achievements to come as we continue to see more and more of what these great colleges and institutions are doing.
Thank you so much for having us on. We really appreciate it. And everybody, make sure you tune in this weekend. We're going to have a lot of great content for you, stuff you're not going to see anywhere else.
We appreciate it, Stephen. Take care. All the greatest. Have a super weekend. Stephen Gaither, founder of HBCU Game Day, joining us live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Time now for our classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the best-selling novel, It Takes Two, about the world of Argentine tango by Patricia Chen. Here's the question that we've been offering for the last week and a half. Name three characters Red Skelton, the great comedian, played regularly on his weekly TV variety shows, first on NBC and then for many, many years in both half-hour and hour form on CBS. And we'll take any three. He played a lot of them, so there's a lot of variety to choose from. Name three characters Red Skelton played regularly on his weekly variety series. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, on the email, include your name and where you're from, full mailing address, So if you win, we can get the prize out to you. And if you missed the question a moment ago, we don't repeat it before the end of the next half hour. Well, we'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's the UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to get in. So be in the game and all the very best. Coming up after the top of the hour, remember all those Air Bud films? Well, the people behind that are now getting into television in a very unique way on the Disney Channel with an hour-long scripted series called Pup Academy. We'll talk to the creator and executive producer, Anna McRoberts. She joins us live from Malibu after we pause after the top of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio and www.speaker.com. Best internet radio in the galaxy. More than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR Speaker, home for indie country radio. Check out what's unique in the world of independently made country music. Today, 5:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 2:30 p.m. Pacific, right here. Indie country radio exclusively on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Best VTR, always 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the final half hour of Tomorrow Will Be Televised for this Friday afternoon, August 2019. And welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Got a great show going. One more great guest coming your way in the half hour ahead. Plus an up segment as well, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's very simple. Pick up the phone, make your move with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And you can also use our chat room, DiamondApple04. We have a bunch of people in the room, so get involved. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's DiamondApple04 by name, or give us that call. Either way, we want you to be interactive with us. And if you are listening to us, you can also connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on that Facebook icon on your Blog Talk or Speaker screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. About two decades ago, an independent movie came out that captivated the nation. It was all about a very unique dog. It was called Air Bud. It blossomed into a franchise and other movie and home video franchises as well. And lo and behold, a business got made called Air Bud Entertainment. And now, the people behind those Air Bud and other movies and home videos are now getting into television through the Disney Channel. On August 26th, that's National Dog Day, a week from Monday, they will launch their first scripted series. It's called Pup Academy. Joining us live from California, Malibu specifically, it's creator and executive producer Anna McRoberts. Anna, welcome in.
Hi, thank you, Simon. Thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure. So after doing all these Air Bud movies, other franchises as well, what made you and your folks turn the corner and say, let's do a TV series?
You know, great question. We've been in the business of making franchises, as you know, Air Bud, Air Buddies, all long franchises. So we've always really been into telling stories that sustain, that continue on. Our characters go on new adventures in the Air Buddies movies. It was very much like a series. And so as series became more and more popular, we thought, and technology really caught up to a place that we could bring our content to the TV screen. We've been waiting to do it. So it was the right time and right place, and we had the right story to bring to TV.
What made Pup Academy the right story?
You know, it's filled with, so our brand historically is very focused on family values. And so we really wanted the right story that really had those pillars of the values in our storytelling that Air Bud Entertainment really believes in. So first and foremost, imagination. We needed a story that was filled with imagination. You know, we believe very strongly in working and curating and cultivating imagination for children. And this Pup Academy is a whole new world the audience has never seen. It's a secret, magical place. Well, you don't know this, but when you go to school, so does your puppy, and they go to Pup Academy. So, and little do you know why puppies love fire hydrants so much, because they're the secret portals to Pup Academy. So this show, this world, really had this key pillar of imagination that we really believe in. And then friendship, you know, it's the next value, friendship, teamwork, and family, all big, big pillars of this show. So this encapsulated it, and it was the right show to bring to TV.
How long did it take from coming up with the idea to actually putting the show to the camera?
It took, I would say it took about 2 years, really, from idea, seed of the idea to being on the air. I would say about two to three years, sort of roughly in there.
And was there a turning point where you said, where there's no turning back, we're going to do this, we've got the idea honed down, we think we now have a premise that can work on particular networks, particularly networks that cater to family audiences, like Disney Channel?
Yeah, and so it's Air Bud Entertainment's first TV series, so that's a great question. We really wanted to make sure it was a series that had, as I said, all of the pillars of our brand, all of the family values that we believe strongly in. And so certainly once the idea was really fleshed out and we had created this world that we knew we could find all the values that Air Bud believes strongly in, that it was, we knew it would happen. And so it's Air Bud Entertainment's first TV series. It will premiere on the Disney Channel in August. And then it will also be a Netflix original around the globe starting in February. So we're very excited that it will be in many, many, many millions of homes around the globe.
We have a new person just joining our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Welcome aboard, whoever you are. Either use the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Disney Channel is putting this series on at a very unusual time period. A weekday afternoon on a Monday, National Dog Day. That's a pretty interesting experiment for a TV series like this.
So the premiere event is a movie event. It's a 1 hour long, and then the series will be half hour episodes after that, 22. So we're very excited about premiering on the Disney Channel. Our demographic has historically been in the sort of 5 to 10 year old range. So the time slot is correlating with the demo, which is 6 to 8, 6 to 9 for this show. So it's bridging the preschool mornings with the older 9 to 12 year old evenings. So we think it's a great slot for the show to premiere. We're very excited about really finding that audience with those kids that are a little bit too old for preschool and a little bit too young for the 9 to 12 older content that Disney has. So we're right in that sweet spot where kids are really full of imagination and full of excitement and really open to finding out about all new worlds, which is right where this show falls and what our show is doing. So for us, it's a very exciting to be premiering on the Disney Channel. As you know, we've produced all the Buddy movies for Disney, so we've been long partners with Disney, and Disney as a brand really encapsulates a lot of the brands, the same values that Air Bud encapsulates. So being back with Disney is very exciting for us. We've had a long history of success with Disney over the years.
Mm-hmm. Now, staying on the premise of the show, what is Pup Academy like? What kind of world or environment does it take place?
I love answering this. So Pup Academy is, as I said, it's a secret world that you've never seen, and little do kids know when they go to school. So do their pups. So Pup Academy is surrounded by, it's a school that has been there for years and years and years. And as the mythology goes, the first dog was born the day a wise old wolf rescued a small boy from a pack of ferocious animals in the woods, and they formed a very strong and powerful friendship, and that wolf became the first dog. They then formed Pup Academy to always make sure that this strong friendship, this world's strongest bond between human and dog kind, always remained strong, and Pup Academy was formed. So Pup Academy has been there for years, generations and generations, and right now, unfortunately, because kids are a little bit more distracted than ever, our story opens when we find that the guiding force, the constellation of Pup Academy, where the Pup Academy gets its magic and its power from, is fading, because the bond between humans and dog kind is also fading. So we open our show in a place where we need to figure out a way to renew that bond and focus back on friendship and remind the world how important friendship and teamwork are. And that's where the story begins, and that's sort of the thrust of our show.
We are speaking with Anna McRoberts. She is the creative executive producer of Pup Academy. It's Disney Channel's newest original series. It will premiere on National Dog Day, a week from Monday, August 26th, at a very unusual time, 2 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on the Disney Channel, with a one-hour pilot film, and then it becomes a half hour on weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Pacific time, starting on September 6th. Anna joins us live from Malibu, California, in this half hour right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Apple with you live from New York, 78 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us on this TGIF day before we all head out to a super weekend wherever you are, catching us on Blog Talk Radio Speaker. If you have a question or comment for Anna, make the phone ring 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. But another person just got into the room, so be involved either by phone or in the room. Next Friday, we have another dog tale to tell you about, one which we showcased for the very first time a couple years ago called Dog TV. At the time, it was a pay service on Cox cable systems around the country, including California. Well, it's now graduated to other cable systems, and now it is going to smart TV sets and smart TV devices, initially for free. We will talk to the founder and the general manager of Dog TV North America, B.B. Lubich, will be our lead guest. And then we'll showcase, staying on the natural world side of things, a new Nat Geo Wild special called Kingdom of the White Wolf. The host and executive producer, Ronan Donovan, will join us. That's all a week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, our regular time right here on Tomorrow will be televised. In terms of how you put the show together, what were you looking for in terms of not only the non-human actors, the dogs, but also the human actors?
Great question. You know, there's 35 dogs, so we have a very big, I think the biggest animal cast in history in our show. And then for the humans, you know, because it's a very special secret world the audience has never seen, we really wanted humans that encapsulated that sort of, they had a bit of a magical quality to them also. The show, you know, the school is a very dogified world. Instead of dog houses, instead of lockers, we've got dog houses. Instead of water fountains, we've got garden hoses. Instead of a restroom, we've got a doggy park. And instead of a cafeteria, we've got the doggy bowl. So, you know, it's a real dogified world. So we needed humans that had a very special quality to them that would exist within that world. We do see the humans on the outside world, but mostly they are inside our special secret world. So we really had to find the human that really had that right quality that we felt could kind of exist in this magical place. So we have an amazing, amazing human cast. Really that brought our characters to life in a way we didn't beyond our wildest imaginations, which is always the best when you create a character and then when they come to life they're even better than you imagined them, and that certainly has happened with our human cast.
Yeah. What are some of the adventures that both dog and human get into?
So there's so many, you know, the whole show is, I would say, 22 episodes of a big, huge adventure. It's got some great stories, great adventure, great fun and comedy. You know, so we have the bigger, broader adventures, which is the whole adventure of finding, getting their magical dog tags and getting through the magic fire hydrant portals to this magical world. The big adventure of going to school for the first time and learning what that is about and making new friends, the big adventure of life and friendship. And then, you know, more specific adventures, you know, there's one of the earlier episodes is the little sibling from next door, the quote unquote little sibling, a little tiny teacup puppy sneaks in with one of our star dogs, sneaks into the school, follows them in, and they're not allowed any outside dogs, so they have to spend the whole episode hiding this dog named Oopsie. Oopsie only knows one word, which is Oopsie. So as you can imagine, the antics of the episode trying to hide this dog who's always sneaking away and only saying Oopsie is they get up to, you know, that's a sort of an adventure within the school. And then there's adventures outside of the school. Surrounding the school is a secret, deep, magical wood called the wildwood, which is what protects the school from the outside world. There's a lot of animals in that wildwood that we get to know as the series continues. And in one episode, Morgan, our little boy, the apprentice caretaker of Pup Academy, and Spark, our stray dog who's been admitted into Pup Academy this year, get lost in the wildwood. So that's a bigger, broader adventure where they're really, you know, their stakes are real and they're in the wildwood and they've got to get back to Pup Academy. There's a big ticking clock. So, you know, the adventures vary from inside the school, outside the school, and, you know, the human kids have some challenges in their, an adventure in their own human school, and the dogs have a lot of adventures in their really dogified Pup Academy.
Where did you film or tape the series? And how do you, with so many dogs involved, how do you handle that mess of animal humanity?
The dogs are, you know, the dog, working with dogs is, it has been such a gift. Obviously, I've done it for much of my career. We have an amazing group of animal handlers who work with our dogs every day. The animals are very excited to be there. They're very well trained, and the handlers are, you know, we write what our imaginations can come up with, and the dogs have a lot of fun bringing those stories to life. We enjoy very much working with animals, and it's been, you know, animals and children. And, you know, our star Christian Convery, he was eight and nine years old when we shot the show. He's an amazing, amazing actor that really carried this whole show and brought it all to life. And his chemistry with his grandpa, Don Lake, who plays his grandfather in the show, is, you really see that pop on the screen. So, you know, be it our animal cast or our human cast, working, having them bring our characters to life is nothing but a, you know, a privilege and an honor for us.
Mm-hmm. And where did you film the series or tape the series?
We filmed it in Canada, on Vancouver Island in a city called Victoria, BC.
Mm-hmm. Over the years, there have been a lot of great shows. Rin Tin Tin, Sergeant Preston the Yukon with Yukon King, of course, Lassie, the biggest long run, one of the biggest long running shows ever, not just in terms of animals, but just shows featuring the Little Hobo in Canada, on Saturday mornings, Run Joe Run, for a number of years in NBC. What, in your mind, makes a good animal driven show, especially one that's scripted?
I think it's heart. You know, I think the reason why people love their pets so much is because they have the heart and the bond we have with our animals is you can't really compare it to any other bond. So I think a great animal, you know, Lassie, the greats, you really felt like you connected to the dog, to the animal. You really feel connection to them, and you really understand them, and they're represented in a way that feels really real. So that could be, you know, in the original Air Bud could have been anybody's dog. We really love him and empathize with him and see him as our own pet. And as we all know, pets are one of the greatest joys in our lives. So I think it's bringing that feeling of love and heart to the screen that really makes those stories pop.
Yeah. And in recent years, Disney Channel has shown a willingness to go beyond what many people see as family television and try different things, like Andy Mack. More recently, Just Roll With It, the series where it's a sitcom that has elements of improv where at certain points the cast goes off stage and the studio audience determines which way the show goes, not just once but several times in the course of a half hour. This certainly falls into this. Because this is something different for Disney Channel, did they give you leeway to try to maybe inject some social themes, like how to deal with the environment, how to deal with their treatment of dogs, how to deal with issues involving animal cruelty, that kind of thing?
You know, Air Bud, we've always told stories that we can all relate to, strong, with, you know, really strong characters and believable magical worlds. And so we really were brought it, you know, our show, Air Bud Entertainment's first TV show, I think was interesting to Disney Channel because of who we are and what we've always done. You know, strong family values, big on imagination. So that's really what that's what our focus has always been, and that's what our focus continues to be. And for all of our partners that work with us, you know, Disney Channel, Netflix, Disney, partners around the globe, that's what they've always been interested in. It, you know, that's what we do. That's why we've been successful, is we've really focused on these Urban Entertainment's key values, core values.
We are speaking with Anna McRoberts. She is the creative executive producer of the first series from the folks behind the long-running Air Bud franchise, Movie Home Video, one of their great franchises, too, for family entertainment. And their first TV series is Pup Academy, premieres on National Dog Day, August 26th, one-hour opening episode, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on the Disney Channel, then starts September 4th, weekdays, also at 2 on that very same service. Anna joins us live from Malibu, California, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And if you have some thoughts or questions in our remaining moments with her, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, coming up on Monday, the Oscar-winning co-writer of Moonlight, Terrell Alvin McCraney, will join us, his brand-new first-ever series for television, the Oprah Winfrey Network's David Makes Man, opening the rave reviews Wednesday night. It's on 10 o'clock, by the way, episode 2 next Wednesday. He is with us live as our lead guest in an internet radio exclusive. And finally, Paul Slatkis, the founder and president of Good News Broadcast, will be here. They're doing a very unique TV effort, a pay-per-view special about the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, one of the most unique cultural events of the last century. That's Terrell Alvin McCraney from David Makes Man, Paul Slatkis from the Woodstock 50 special. That's both tomorrow on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Join us. It's going to be a great hour coming your way right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Anna, Pup Academy is effort number one in terms of a TV series for your company. When is effort number two going to happen?
Great question. So we have a lot of exciting things in the works. We have announced that we will be doing a new Air Bud movie and an Air Bud series coming up next year. And then we've also, you know, we've got some other very exciting TV series that I can't talk about yet. But we guarantee there's a lot more coming from us in this new space. You know, as a storyteller, we've always, you know, we've made historically a lot of movies. And as I said, our movies were because they were franchise-based, we really extended story throughout more than one movie. And now being able to open up our storytelling capabilities into the world of TV and to really dig deep into these amazing characters and worlds and values and to tell more story. It, you know, there's really more story you can tell and you can get deeper into your characters. We're very excited about continuing that into to more series. And we, you know, again, back to children's imagination, we believe really strongly in children's imagination. So when you have a series, you can tell more story, open up that imagination even more than you thought possible. So really, we'll have a lot of exciting upcoming stuff coming up in TV.
And what do you see about the landscape out there that is opening up not just for you but for every production company, big and small, trying to work in television? When you consider Disney Plus, Apple TV Plus, BET Plus, HBO Max, whatever Comcast, NBC, and Universal do over the next year, not to mention more of these services like an HBCU Game Day that are showing up through smart TV sets and smart devices, some of which are out to be incubators for new series.
You know, I think it's a very exciting time to be a content creator, you know, an artist in general, really. This landscape is there's more content being watched than ever before. So as a content creator, as content creators at Air Bud Entertainment, we're very excited about the opportunities and the ability to just tell more stories and bring more, you know, long-lasting characters to the screen for families everywhere. You know, we've had we've been in a lot of homes over the years, and for us, this opens up the landscape even more, and there's more stories we can tell, and we can reach more children than ever and more families and impact with our values. And you know, kudos to Netflix for inventing this whole new streaming world that is now, you know, growing and opening up the world of possibilities for everybody. So we're very excited about the landscape. We think it's the most exciting time for content creators, especially with really important stories to tell and values to, you know, to convey to audiences. So we're very excited about it. I think it's an exciting time for everybody.
And we should point out that Netflix, Amazon, CBS All Access, other such services, Hulu, are really all getting into doing more original family and kids programming than ever. And, of course, these other services also out to the very same thing, and others, I'm sure, are in the works. The program is called Pup Academy from Air Bud Entertainment on the Disney Channel on National Dog Day. The premiere hour is going to be on a week from Monday. That's August 26th. 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. Then episodes will premiere each day, 2 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, starting on September 4th. And I want to add also that before we go, that you have some very big partners that are going to be involved in promoting the show. You've got a hotel chain. You've got ice cream style treats for dogs and a few other folks involved.
We do. We have an amazing promotional partners, which we're very, very excited about. And, you know, if everybody listening wants to go to airbud.com, they can find more information about all our promotional partners and follow us on all our social. We'd love for you to follow us at Pup Academy. There's some new exciting short form content coming out. So yeah, there's some contests that will be starting soon. So please go to airbud.com to find out more about all of that.
And for more details about Pup Academy, that's where you go, and Air Bud Entertainment, the company behind it, airbud.com, and www.disneychannel.com. That's www.disneychannel.com. Once again, Pup Academy, the premiere, a week from Monday, August 21st, National Dog Day, 2 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Anna McRoberts, creator, executive producer of Pup Academy, thank you for joining us. Congratulations on getting this first series off the ground. And as you said, many, many more to come, and we definitely like to follow where Air Bud Entertainment is going. So it's a pleasure to have you here.
Great. Thank you very much for having us, Simon.
You're very welcome, Anna. Have a super weekend. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Anna McRoberts from Pup Academy joining us live from Malibu, California. Before we leave you, time for our regular feature, Up and an Update, where we update you on some of the guests and topics we've had on this program. Last Monday, we brought you Callisto Chinchilla. He is the founder and executive director of the New York Casino Film Festival, which is now underway on here in New York, at various locations in Midtown Manhattan. What we didn't know at the time when we did the interview is that just like the Asian American National Film Festival of several weeks back, they are also doing a special session with TV and web pilots. And it's called the Digital Shorts Program, and it'll be taking place tomorrow at 11 o'clock local time at the AMC Screen 10, that's the AMC Empire 25 in the Times Square area. And they're showing 8 different pilots. They're called Uno por Uno, the Cuban Missile Crisis, El Super, Un Mundo 45, which I understand was spent at several New York festivals, TV festivals around the country, Sterling, Kennedy, Woke, This Boy is Vita, Made in America, and South of Sunset. We'll keep you posted about how these pilots do. If any of them get a TV deal, we'll have the creators on upcoming editions of our show. And finally, we got some late-breaking news before we went on the air, and it dealt with the organization that kicked off our show 12 years plus ago, the annual New York Television Festival. Ned Canty, at that time the program director back in 2007, was our very first guest. And every year we have showcased the festival, usually this month, and we've had either Terrence Gray, the executive director, or the program director, Aaron Day. And then later on after the festival, we have one or more of the key winners on this program. The last festival was last summer in 2018, and we had hoped by now we would know whether there would be a festival in 2019. Back in March, Gray and Day noted that they were going to take some time, not do the festival this summer, but probably do it later this year. Well, we learned about a half hour ago that will not be the case. There will be no New York Television Festival this year. They really want to do something in terms of the format to make it more palatable for not only the independent TV community and all the content creators that are involved with the festival, but also the possible places those pilots and series could go. The studios, broadcast cable networks, the likes of Netflix, Hulu, and so on and so forth. So no festival this year, but they're out to cause it even bigger and better in 2020, and we'll keep you posted about how that situation goes. Don't forget, Monday, Terrell Alvin McCready from David Makes Man, Paul Slatkis from the Woodstock 50 Special. That's all next Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific right here on Suave Televised. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Suave Televised was brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a trio of great audiobooks and a one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. Thanks again to all of our guests and all of you for tuning in. For Suave Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. We've got a fantastic weekend ahead. We are back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend, no matter where you are, make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.